And welcome in to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad out at Pete and Terry's Tavern today at Bridgestone Arena. And we are here in advance of opening night for the Nashville Predators. And our game day coverage and our broadcast from Bridgestone Arena brought to you by Hermitage, the Design Center. Joe Rexroad, it's nice to be out here today at Pete and Terry's. Got a little NHL hockey in Nashville taking place tonight between the Preds and the Seattle Kraken.
What time did you get here?
I got here at 5:25.
And you're going to leave here tonight at?
Probably midnight, close to.
You need to stay here all day?
No, I think I'm going to be able to go home at some point.
Yeah,
I think.
We open this place and we're going to close this place.
That's right. That's what we do here.
It's going to be a fun day here.
It is going to be a fun day here, and we hope you're a part of it. Come on down and hang out with us at Pete and Terry's all morning long. Of course, the midday show with Darren Donica Chase and Stillman & Company will be here as well. And we've got free breakfast and coffee specials that we'll be doing and lunch specials as well during the midday show. So if you get some time, come on down to Pete and Terry's today. We got a loaded show for you here today. We'll have a special programming announcement coming up at 8:30 here on the show. We'll be joined by Predators coach John Hines at 7:30. Of course, Hal Gill, Skillsy, coming by at 9:30. And then Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com at 8 o'clock. So a lot to get into today. And as always, we'll be taking your thoughts all show long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. And speaking of the text line, today a pretty good day to make sure you're active on the text line, because every hour we will have a pair of tickets to give away to see the Predators take on the Seattle Kraken, and we'll be doing that by way of trivia question on the text line. So make sure you're tuned in for that, for your opportunity to attend the Predators game tonight against the Seattle Kraken. Going to be a good one tonight, Joe Rexroad. Obviously, there's a lot of intrigue about what this team is going to look like. The opening night roster's been set. You've got Mattias Ekholm locked down to a contract extension. We'll get more into that coming up here in just a few minutes, including some really interesting comments he had yesterday about a discussion with David Poile a year ago. But that's done. That's locked down. And the opening night roster is set. And all eyes going to be, I think, on a few young guys tonight. Cody Glass making his Predators debut. Eli Tolvanen, obviously. And seeing if he can build on where he started last year. And then, of course, Philip Tomasino figures to be in the lineup tonight as well for the Predators. So going to be an intriguing night to see exactly where these young guys are as they begin the season.
Yeah, for sure. You know, a lot of focus on the young guys, and I think a lot of focus, too, on the top line, you know, of Ryan Johansson, Matt Duchene, Philip Forsberg. And I think that line needs a good run. And, you know, talking to a couple of those guys yesterday and John Hines, I mean, there's obviously confidence. I mean, how many teams start a season without confidence? You know, I mean,
sure.
Typically that's opening night, everybody has high hopes and everything like that, but they like how they've been playing together, and they feel like they've got something there, and I could see that being something good for them. So I think that's a big focus, and you know, UC Saros too. Can he, now that he's the guy, can he have a fast start to a season? That has been one thing that he hasn't done a lot so far, but of course he's never been the guy like this before.
He is not, and, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, going into the season from him, it's going to take a high level of play for him. And to your point, he's not started off seasons particularly well in his career. This is also the first time that he has been, I think, the unquestioned starter in an 82-game season. And, you know, I expect that he's going to get a lot of playing time this year. 55, 60 games, I don't think is out of the question, maybe even more than that, depending on the way the schedule breaks down for the Predators. So that's going to begin tonight for UC Saros. I will say, watching him in practice, watching him in the preseason, he still looks pretty good. UC Saros looks pretty good out there. So, look, I mean, he had a .940 save percentage to close out the season last year. I think that's a little extreme. I think the expectation of him having a .940 save percentage is, quite frankly, a little bit unrealistic. But if he hangs around .925, .927, somewhere in that area, this team might be in good shape.
Is 923 okay?
923 is fine.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's not. That's not realistic. But that's going to be – if he can be that, if he can be a 920 guy, which is – what was Pecorine's career save percentage?
probably
right,
in the
teens. Right around there, like high teens, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that should be enough, you know, to give them a chance. You know, I'm going through the roster right now, and I didn't realize as we were talking yesterday, I think it was during the Poyle Ekholm presser, I guess it was Poyle brought up, you know, what they, the sixth youngest team all of a sudden?
Yeah.
Talk about depressing. I'm going through this roster. There is one guy born in the 80s. It was not long ago. There were several.
Who is it, Ekholm?
You had guys like P.A. Parenteau and these guys, you know, that you could count on. No, Borowiecki, 1989. And everyone else is born in the 90s or, well, gosh, there's no one in the 2000s, right? Actually, there will be some 2000s. You've got, Tomasino, 01, baby.
Hey, buddy.
Born in 01.
Now, you talk about feeling old. That'll make you feel old right there.
Oh, my gosh. But that is, it's interesting because you don't think of this as really like a massively turned over roster,
right?
I mean, still a lot, you know, there's still a lot of the core, that really was kind of being built in the last go around of rebuild or whatever, retool, whatever you want to call it. But they have changed over and gotten quite young collectively.
They have. And, you know, I'm interested to see what the excitement level is from this fan base, because it's interesting. I think you have some people that we've heard from, both on social media, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, about, you know, being excited for this group and that they're younger and that they've got, you know, some pieces like Tomasino, Carrier on the back end. There's a lot of excitement. I think there are some fans that have been beaten down the last couple of years based on the expectations, and they're in I'll believe it when I see it mode with this group. It's kind of interesting to gauge the pulse of this fan base right now. And it's one of those things, too, like, you know, I've seen a lot of people on Twitter that have been clamoring for a youth movement and clamoring for a youth movement for the last 2 years, and now they've got one and maybe a little less excited about the season. I'm like, well, when you clamor for a youth movement, sometimes this is what comes with it. So we'll see what happens on that front. But the theme that kind of stood out to me yesterday, that, you know, it's one thing to talk about this. It's another thing to go out there and do it. There's a lot of talk about having a chip on your shoulder. I mean, Forsberg brought it up like six times yesterday about, you know, older guys on this team, veteran guys on this team that have something to prove. And, you know, I do think there is, when you start discussing Forsberg and Duchesne and Johansson, players like that, there should be a kind of a max level of motivation heading into this year. But again, it's one thing to talk about it. It's up to them to go out there starting tonight and to prove it on the ice. I do not blame Predators fans that say, you know what, we've heard stuff like that before. We need to go out and see it on the ice. And it's up to those three specifically to lead the way on that front.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, look, you always hear from people in this world, you know, try not to, you know, don't pay attention to stuff, which I never really believe. You're more likely to hear that they do pay attention to stuff if it's bad,
yep.
You know, if it's disrespectful, and I think these guys absolutely have taken notice of the fact that, like, that around the league, no one expects much of this team. You know, they're picked pretty consistently. You know, the only team that they're consistently picked ahead of is Arizona.
Yep.
So, you know, I think that's part of it. I mean, it can't hurt, right? But ultimately, it's on a lot of these guys. I mean, I think that there's probably going to be some unrealistic expectation when you talk about the youth movement. I could see Tomasino, he's probably going to have some ups and downs, right?
I would assume
he's not going to come in here and just start dominating. People want to watch 26 right away, which I get. They want to watch number 8, too. They want to watch Glass out there and how those guys work together.
I thought you were talking about Kyle Turris.
Kyle Turris, by the way, he just got waived. Is that right?
He did, but I think he had a shootout goal last night for Edmonton. So I guess he was on their roster.
Oh, is that right?
I guess so.
Oh, okay. Well, good for him then. Yeah, the new number 8. You know, but it still comes down to you got to let those guys grow. It comes down to, you know, these key veterans on this team. Like, you feel like you know what you're going to get from a Granlund. I do think that not enough people are talking about Luke Cunnan, and I think he's a very talented guy who has his best hockey ahead of him, but it's, you know, a lot of it is about 95 and 92. And that's, I think that's a lot of why they're picked where they are, and I think that's a lot of why they could be better than where they're picked.
Well, and to that point, and we're going to have John Hines on at 7:30 today on the show. You know, I'm glad that they're starting off with this line together of Forsberg, Johansson, Duchesne, because, look, I think, you know, if it doesn't work, then you can change it up, and the excuse of, hey, you're not putting me in a position to succeed pretty much goes out the window if you give this some time and they're not productive together as a line. But if it works, I mean, I still believe, you know, you're through the Seattle expansion draft now. Your path forward is going to involve Johansson and Duchesne. I mean, you're stuck with them at this point. And I know a lot of Predators fans probably wish that wasn't the case. You leave them exposed in the expansion draft. But, you know, I still think there are good players somewhere in there, and you've got to find a way to dig that out if you're John Hines. So I'm really happy that they're starting those three together. And I think if you're those three, you've got to view it as an opportunity to, all right, this is our chance. There was some chemistry that you showed together in the playoffs. Can you pick up where you left off, build on it, and be productive off the jump immediately to begin regular season play tonight? I mean, this is a big opportunity for those three, and it's up to them to take advantage of it.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, talked a little bit to both Duchesne and Johansson yesterday for something I'm writing here. I guess I should probably do that at some point. you know, but look, I mean, those guys, and I never doubted this, I think that they took the way you want them to take the whole being exposed. First of all, I mean, Johansson's talking about he was at James Neal's house when he was that whole expansion. So he, like, had seen this already.
Yeah.
And then he remembered the next year, like, the team, and to your point, is a point you've made. You know, boy, they miss Nealer, don't they, at times? I mean, it's like you're going to lose a good player. These things are tough. And you have to take it as, okay, well, one, you have to understand your contract, which, of course, they do. But also, you got to take it as people – don't think that you're the player that you're paid to be. So show them that you are.
Yeah, absolutely. And they'll get their first opportunity at that tonight as they take on the Seattle Kraken. We are off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We'll continue the discussion on the Predators coming up next and get into Matthias Ekholm's contract and some interesting comments he had yesterday about a conversation with David Poile a year ago. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
A very happy announcement for myself and for the Predators today, and repeating that we've signed Ekki for 4 more years, and as Kevin said, he'll be here for at least 5 more years. During the negotiations, I'm pretty sure we thought you might be here for like 20 more years, right? So that's we'll see how that plays out for both of us. But I'm cheering for you all the way.
That was Nashville Predators general manager David Poile yesterday at the press conference for Matthias Ekholm. Matthias Ekholm signs a 4-year, $25 million contract extension, and that'll be worth $6.25 million per year. That kicks in after this season. So 5 more seasons at least of Matthias Ekholm in a Nashville Predators jersey. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, equal housing lender. And, Joe, that happened while we were on the air yesterday. Elliot Friedman broke the news that Matthias Ekholm had signed a contract extension. And one of the things that was kind of circling through my mind when I heard that was, what a kind of a whirlwind this past year must have been for Matthias Ekholm. Because right before the trade deadline last year, the Predators were struggling, and Matthias Ekholm's name was pretty heavily swirling around the NHL rumor circles. I remember we discussed a piece at The Athletic where he was number one on the big board in terms of the trade deadline targets in the NHL, and we talked a lot on the show about whether or not the Predators should trade Matthias Ekholm, and it looked like at one point it was going to be an inevitability that he gets moved. You fast forward to what happened. Ekholm and the Predators figure it out. They make the playoffs. They don't trade him, obviously. And now he doesn't have to worry about getting traded, at least at the moment, with the contract extension that he just signed. So quite a ride for Matthias Ekholm the last year, and I asked him about that yesterday at his press conference, how gratifying signing the contract extension was, and especially when you factor in what happened with him over the course of the last year in the trade rumors. Here's what Matthias Ekholm had to say yesterday at his press conference.
Yeah, no, obviously we're super happy about that. That was a tough time, as I said earlier, when Maya was even, I mean, she was only a couple of weeks when all this was really intense, and I could be moved anytime. But to be honest with you, I was going to have an interview last year about it, and I just went into David and I asked him, like, are you actually trading me, or what's going on? And he's been always very honest with me, and I think that I'll take him up on it, but he said he wasn't, and that was all the media. But obviously it's hard to see your name out in those conversations, and when you have a family, it's one thing if it's me, I can pack up and leave anytime. Obviously it'd be tough to leave the city you've played for a long time, but when you have more roots, you know, in the ground here, so to speak, it's a little bit harder. But I feel like that's what we've enjoyed a lot about this organization too. They've always been open with me, and I feel like I can go into David's office and it's not a big deal to ask the hard questions. I'll get as straight of an answer as he can give me, and that was something that I felt comfortable in last year, even when the rumors were really flying. Obviously now, looking at getting a contract and knowing I'm going to be here feels really good, and looking back, and maybe even more so of what would have happened last spring.
So that was Matthias Ekholm yesterday at his press conference. And Joe, one of the things that I have grown to really appreciate about Matthias Ekholm is there is no BS involved with Matthias Ekholm. You ask him something, he will answer what you're asking him, and he's pretty open and honest when it comes to, I guess, both what he talks about privately and in the media as well. And he just came out right yesterday and said, you know, I went into David's office, what's the deal? Are you going to be trading me, or are you not trading me? And I thought a really interesting response there from Matthias Ekholm. And as he said, obviously with all that swirling about, and to be able to sign the contract yesterday, maybe even sweeter for him yesterday, given everything that happened with him last year.
I always wonder, like, how often that happens.
Yeah.
I mean, like, according to Poile, you know, not often.
Yep.
So, but, yeah, he'd be one of those guys that you would expect. So I got to give a shout-out to Ryan Hanna on Twitter, who at the time, I tweeted out that quote yesterday, and he quote tweeted, said, "No," Poile said, hanging up the phone quickly and stretching his arms to block his computer screen. But of course not. No, come on, get out of here. You know, it's so I'm like, is it possible that Ekholm went in there, and because he confronted him, Poile's like, gosh, I can't trade this guy.
Probably not.
But, you know, it's nice to think about. But, no, that is it. I always wonder, like, you know, when that's out there, and that was so out there last year. Like you said, he was number one on our big board at The Athletic, but I mean,
it was,
you know,
everywhere.
Yeah, it was everywhere. And usually when something like that is everywhere, usually there's at least some kind of information, you know, coming from the club in question that, and again, it may not be from the club to media, but from the club to other people, other teams, other GMs who talk to media. Like, you know, usually there's something that's also, you know, from the club in question, but not necessarily. But regardless, like, how do you, you know, how many guys that's the case, and then you just sort of like walk in the hallway, like, hey, David, how you doing? You know, good day. Yeah, okay, all right, let's, well, we get on the plane together. And I mean, it's just a bizarre situation. But I mean, look, I was certain that it was going to happen, and who knows? Who knows? Another, you know, a couple weeks of the way they were playing early. I mean, who knows?
Well, you may not have a choice, right? Like, if they would have kept going the way they were going last year, I mean, you're talking about a team that was going to be near the bottom of the league. And I think the idea of a rebuild, which they've kind of walked back since all the conversation this summer, I think the idea of a rebuild at that point is pretty much on the table, because, I mean, you're just, it's gone so far off the rails at that point. So, honestly, like, I'm sure that there were conversations or at least consideration from the Predators' point of view. I think you'd have been crazy to at least not have that talk or that conversation. It's interesting, though, because, like, that conversation that Ekholm had yesterday, you know, going back to his conversation with Poile, brought up something that I've always been really curious about, and that's, like, the dynamic of a general manager and your relationship with your players. Because, like, you want to have a good relationship with your guys, and you want them to be able to come to you and talk to you about things. But, like, also, you probably don't want to be too close because your job as a general manager is to make objective decisions to help your hockey team, football team, whatever sport you want to throw in there. And that's got to be a really tough balance. It, you know, David Poyle's been doing this for a long time. I'm sure that he's perfected that as much as possible. But that's a tough balance for a GM because, you know, it can hurt to trade some guys away sometimes. But you have to be willing to make those tough decisions if you're a GM.
Like, I'm sure for many years, David Poyle and Shea Weber got along great, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, then that happened.
Yeah.
And then Shea Weber's asked about David Poyle when he comes back the next year. I mean, well, what are you going to throw the guy teddy bears at that point? You're ticked off,
sure.
You know? And, I mean, look, if Forsberg has a press conference like Ekholm did, I'm sure, yeah, maybe they'll be up there together and it'll be all lovey-dovey. And Forsberg will still have been really pissed that he traded Victor Arvidsson.
Yep.
I mean, that's just – but, again, you also have to, as a pro athlete, you got to understand that too. You got to understand that that's his job and head on a swivel at all times. So, but, yeah, it's different than a coach and the players because the coach – well, in theory, it's not in his hands. Well, by the way, just did you see this about the Raiders – on that front, you know, I'd never really known this laid out this way, but, you know, Gruden had 51% of the call on players and Mayock 49%.
51%?
Yep. And they said this, like, they said this at the press conference.
What does that mean?
Basically, it means that he was Mayock's boss. So he
right.
was the coach. Mayock was the GM, but he had veto power.
But, yeah, but if you got 51%, you basically got 100% at that point in a two-person power struggle.
Pretty much, right.
Okay.
So now Mayock is at 51. So
there you go.
Congratulations, Mike Mayock. You're actually the GM of the Raiders now.
Way to go, Mike.
Well done. John Gruden is a miserable bigot. Good job. Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic. Coaches and players, other than coaches who have that kind of power, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, they're just trying to work together and win. GMs and players, I mean, you know, these Titans. I mean, the NFL's so different, too, though, because it's just cut. You know, it's just such a different deal than hockey, where you are much more accountable, really, for signing guys to contracts. But it seemed good yesterday. They seemed to have a good time with the presser. It was good to see the whole Ekholm family.
It was. They were having a good time. And, look, you know, obviously he's still a really good player. So, like, it's important to get him locked up. I do think those that have concerns about, you know, when he's 35, 36, and, you know, this contract, if they make a run in the playoffs, will take him through. He's 37 years old. I mean, I think there are some legitimate concerns about, all right, is Matthias Ekholm going to be worth $6.25 million per year by the time he's 35, 36 years old? I don't know. You know, the way he plays the game, he's been very durable. He skates well. But as we know, that can change in a hurry in this league. So I think those concerns are valid. But, you know, four-year deal, I'm willing to live with maybe one bad year on that contract if I'm the Predators with Matthias Ekholm.
Yeah. I mean, it's very rarely do you, at this point of a player's career, sign a deal where everybody's certain that, like, the very end of it, it's just going to be, you know, it's going to be the same thing. You have to, that's part of the sacrifice for the club.
Yep.
So I'd love to know, you know, what the negotiation parameters were back and forth on that. Probably a little more term on the Ekholm side. I also, you know, I mean, I think it's a pretty club-friendly deal in terms of money. I think it's about right.
Yeah.
The money.
I think the money's spot on.
Yeah. What's the spot on money for Philip Forsberg on AAV?
Oh, man. 7.5?
Yeah.
That's that. I mean, I probably, unless he just lights it up this year, I mean, I'm going to have a tough time going over 7.5 if I'm the Predators. And quite honestly, like, I don't know if that's going to be good enough. Like, I think he could probably get more than that on the open market. But the answer to that question, and we'll start to find out tonight as they get back on the ice, because the more of a big year Philip Forsberg has, the more he's going to help himself at the end of the day in terms of his negotiating power. So we'll begin to see the start of that answer tonight against the Seattle Kraken. We've got some Predators tickets to give away right now. We'll give away some tickets each hour on the show here today. And we begin by our first trivia question on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Remember, you must text in the answer. The first person to get this answer correct will win a pair of tickets to see the Predators take on the Seattle Kraken tonight. And the first question is this. Against what team did Ryan Johansson score his first goal as a Nashville Predator? Against what team did Ryan Johansson score his first goal as a Nashville Predator? If you know the answer, hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And speaking of the game tonight, six home games scheduled during the month of October for the Nashville Predators. You've got the Kraken coming in tonight, the New York Islanders, the Carolina Hurricanes, the Rangers, all sorts of great options for you. And remember, beginning a few weeks ago, Bridgestone Arena requiring all guests to show proof of their full COVID vaccination or a negative test within 72 hours of an event. For more information, head to BridgestoneArena.com/clear. Once again, that's BridgestoneArena.com/clear. And for more Predators ticket information, including becoming a season ticket citizen, or for single game ticket information, go to NashvillePredators.com/tickets. Once again, that's NashvillePredators.com/tickets. When we come back, we will begin the conversation on the Titans, take away some thoughts yesterday from Titans practice, including maybe a big return this week on the field. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
How about Christian Fulton? I know kind of in and out of the lineup with various things. How has he come along? Is he someone you expect to see participate in practice?
We'll see where he's at this afternoon. I don't know where he'll be and how much he'll do. I don't know how much the entire team will do. We're focusing on.
That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel yesterday at his media availability discussing Christian Fulton and the injury situation for the Titans. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you. Our man Ladarius hanging out as well at Pete and Terry's Tavern here at Bridgestone Arena. And our game day broadcast from Bridgestone Arena are brought to you by Hermitage, the design center. Joe Rex Road, Vrabel a little spicy yesterday at his press conference. Didn't appear to be in all that great of a mood yesterday.
Yeah.
Some of that seemed like it stemmed from Tyson Brilow.
Yeah, I would say so. The Tyson Brilow retirement, and then, Buck Rising at A to Z Sports has a piece, with anonymous source. Don't know who the source was, but suggesting one that Sombrilo doesn't like offensive line coach Keith Carter, but also that he felt, pressured in terms of coming back from injury. So I'm guessing that probably, Vrabel was basically like, yeah, go ask Ty.
Yeah.
When he was asked about him. He's also asked about Gruden, no surprise he didn't really comment on it. But he just, one thing he did say, every day we come to work, try to provide an environment for our players, our staff, our organization. It's about winning, trying to do everything we can to help our players and be positive every single day. Which I almost thought about, is that also a response to Sombrilo right there? But pretty clear he's not happy with that, as it would, understandably so. Still, I'd like to hear directly from Ty Sombrilo on that, by the way. But then you've got questions about Dylan Radunz and whether he's going to be prepared to go and things like that. And then Vrabel and Kaharski back and forth a little bit on some of that stuff. And I love the questions, like TD asked about Fulton. Hey, you know what? One out of 100 times Vrabel does randomly actually sort of give you a health thing.
Yeah.
I mean, he gives you the Friday, like, who won't play.
Right.
But for the most part, you know what he's going to say. He's like, yeah, we'll see. We'll see if he's going to be out there. And maybe he will, and maybe he won't. You guys are going to cover individuals, so you'll see. That's what he said on Julio. But as it turns out, Julio Jones is out there. Doesn't mean he's going to play, but it's certainly a positive sign. And it's just like a week earlier when A.J. Brown was out there and got himself ready to go. And, I was with the Preds. I saw the videos of Julio. Looked fine.
Yeah.
But no sign of Christian Fulton, and that's one of those, like, if you had to choose, if you, as a Titans fan, if you had to choose in this game, you can have one of those two guys. Which one are you taking? Julio Jones for this game or Christian Fulton for this game?
Golly.
You don't get to choose, but I'm just curious.
That's a tough one because, I think we asked that question before the season. Everybody's like, what are you talking about? Yeah, we'll take Julio Jones. And I'm probably still leaning Julio Jones is who I would take, but I mean, Christian Fulton, when he's been on the field, has largely been pretty good this year, and especially in this game. Like, somebody's going to have to cover Stephon Diggs. And without Christian Fulton, I don't know how well that's going to happen.
Yeah, honestly, I think I would choose Fulton at this point because of what I saw last week from Marcus Johnson.
Yep.
And I think, you know, I think A.J. Brown, obviously, without further setbacks, I think he's going to progress. But, man, not having Fulton in this game, is that leaves a hole.
Are you saying that Marcus Johnson's going to be the number two wide receiver on this team? Has he replaced Nick Westbrook-Ikhina?
I never said that.
Okay, all right. I'm just checking.
But, yeah, at this point, I think Marcus Johnson is wide receiver two, and I think when Julio comes back, he's wide receiver three. But I think he looked good enough last week that I think this offense can still – I mean, you got to block the Bills. That's the hard part.
Sure.
Can you block the Bills? You got to win outside too, but I think you can win outside enough for those guys. You got to block them, and I just don't know what you do. There's a pretty big gap, I'd say, between Fulton, the way he's been playing, and Borders, and then I think Farley too. Although that brings up a very interesting situation if Fulton can't go. Can Caleb Farley push and actually potentially start in this Monday night game, the Titans' first home Monday night game since 2017?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I would be interested to hear the thoughts of Titans fans on that. Would you rather have Julio Jones or Christian Fulton for this game? Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Speaking of the text line, congratulations to Steve, who had the correct answer of the Colorado Avalanche as the team Ryan Johansson scored his first goal as a Predator against. So, way to go, Steve.
Matt Duchene in the Colorado Avalanche, I presume?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. All right. Nice job. Good question.
Very well done by Steve on our text line. We'll have tickets to give away each hour of our show today and throughout the day on 102.5 The Game as well. So make sure you're tuned in for that. If Julio can come back in this game, it'd be, I still think, a pretty big deal for this Titans group, because I think regardless of if Fulton is in there or not, you're going to have to score a pretty good amount of points if you're the Titans to win this game. Like, even with Fulton on the field, I don't have a ton of confidence in that defense that they're going to be able to keep Buffalo off of the scoreboard all that often. Now, I say that, and even with as bad as the defense was a year ago, they pretty well dominated the Buffalo Bills in that game, and Josh Allen had a bad interception in that game, and just some weird stuff in the game happening where the Titans had some short fields and the game was over really by halftime in that game. So, you know, it's not impossible, but this Bills team looks a little different this year. They look motivated this year, and I would imagine, even though it's a year ago and at the end of the day they made it to the AFC title game, they're probably looking for a little bit of revenge on the Titans based on what happened this time a year ago, which, by the way, I believe was a year ago from yesterday when that game took place.
Yeah, so we got some nice some nice gifts of the Derrick Henry throwing Josh Norman around the field.
How many times do you think we'll see that on the Monday night broadcast?
Oh, man, quite a few. I would think. I suppose the Bills, I suppose that's part of this, remembering last year. Look, I think it was widely expected. I know I thought, given all the things that were going on with the Titans, for people who don't remember, they had, you know, they were under fire. There were people who wanted them, like, relegated to the CFL. They had the COVID issue, and then they had the workouts when they weren't supposed to do the work, all that stuff. And I thought the Bills were going to come in here and put one on them, and the opposite happened. So if the opposite happens again, man, that will be surprising. But I agree with you. Fulton, certainly important, but also it's not like if you have Christian Fulton, all of a sudden you're going to lock down the Bills. I think it's just like a couple more stops on third down maybe that you don't have otherwise. And any stops against this team right now you can get, you'll take. I mean, shoot, someone's got to cover Dawson Knox downfield too.
Yeah. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Justin texting in, I hear Jared in my head right now screaming, Joe, Julio Jones is the wide receiver one. You can't pay $15 million for a wide receiver three. That's how you get fired in the NFL. This is coming from Justin.
Yeah, no, wait, okay. I'm not saying Julio is wide receiver three.
I know.
I already had Jared screaming at me, you know, actually yesterday. By the
congratulations
way,
on your victory.
Yeah, another dub here. Easy dub. Yep. Easy dubs. And a lot, actually, they're talking a lot about the whole Julio, like, you know, again, the regret, the
great photos of you two as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was a couple years ago. But that's, I guess, the whole point is to have a picture with you not smiling. I guess I smile a lot.
Oh, yeah.
You had to go back a few years, you know. But, yeah, look, I mean, Julio Jones, I'm far from dismissing the idea that he's going to be a big part of what they want to do this year. Obviously, though, it's rough to have a hamstring thing a year after it cost him 9 games. But when he's played, I mean, he was almost dominant in Seattle, right? And he was actually having a good game against Indy the next week, and then
yep.
whatever happened, you know, obviously the hamstring. So at some point, they're going to need him. And, look, to win this game, they may need him. I mean, they may need to have everything you can have offensively. And you could look at it like, you know what, yeah, Fulton, great, but this defense is not stopping that offense anyway.
Right.
So just load up and outscore that team. And maybe that is the right answer. It's the reality, if anything, that you're going to get back him, but probably not Fulton.
Support Stars this Saturday by running, walking, or boogieing in the Nashville Striders 21st annual Shelby Bottoms Boogie 15K and 5K run walk at Shelby Bottoms Park. This event is perfect for the avid runner as well as the casual jogger, or you can show your support and participate virtually. For more information, visit starsnashville.org. We'll be right back, continuing the discussion on the Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel discussing the Derrick Henry stiff arm of Josh Norman last year, the best 5-yard run in football history. Maybe so. It's up there.
Yeah. I could find you some like Barry Sanders 1-yard runs.
Oh, yeah.
That are like,
but not five.
Some of the most amazing feats in sports history. But yeah, that's good. Good stuff, Vrabel.
That's right. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Seth from Centerville texting in. I'd rather have Julio. The defense won't be able to stop anyone, regardless of if Fulton is out there or not. This coming from Seth in Centerville.
Yeah. So, again, then you think the Bills are going to score on every possession? Well, if that's the case, then I agree.
It's going to be a long day.
It's going to be a tough one. I guess they'll probably score about 70, 77 points or so that night, you know. You can still get some stops. You will get some stops against the Bills. And you might get a stop or two extra by having your best cornerback covering their best receiver. Just saying. But but in all seriousness, I also get the idea of, you know what, load that offense up as much as you can and hope that, you know, that just gives you a shootout win. That's probably the Titans' most logical path to a W Monday.
Let's go back to the text line. I want Farley. If Brown was out, it'd be different, but we need to defense badly to help contain Allen and these wideouts. With Brown, at least they have a threat to focus in on at wide receiver. Combo with Henry and McNichols. Either way, I think we're in for a long, disappointing night on Monday. The injuries are just too big right now, and Byard is going to need the help on defense. So, not much confidence in the Titans on Monday night. Look, you're going to see, you know, we thought last year there was a lot of people picking the Bills in the situation for the Titans where they didn't practice all week. You're going to see a lot of people picking the Bills this time around, too, would be my guess.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd imagine that line has moved some.
Yesterday it was at, I believe, 4.5 in favor of the Bills. And right now,
come on, Bills Mafia.
The line on the FanDuel Sportsbook for Titans-Bills on Monday night is 5.5. Bills favored by 5.5.
There you go.
So it's moving.
I'd be looking right around a touchdown by the time we actually get to Monday.
Very well could be. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, Josh Norman's on the 49ers, so we'll see him in December. Do have that to look forward to.
Oh, man. Oh, I'm sure he's just can't wait. And, hey, and Jalen Ramsey also gets to not tackle Derrick Henry this
he's been
year
good
again.
At that. Yeah.
He has been. Oh, man.
Is there anybody that's, like, actually good at tackling Derrick Henry that's a member of the secondary? Like, obviously, these big defensive linemen and linebackers sometimes can tackle Derrick Henry effectively. I don't know that there's anybody in the secondary that really matches up all that well.
Well, I will say that I thought the Jets, and I can't identify exactly, but there were a few plays in that game where you know, a safety. It was you and Derek. It was especially actually probably saved Henry from possibly winning the game on a ridiculous overtime run. One guy, and he made a really good low, you know, wrapped up and took him down low, which is what you have to do. There's a nice contrast. I don't know if you saw his up the middle run for a touchdown.
Yep.
Against the Jags. Whoever that safety was, oh, my gosh, I need to find this. I mean, he absolutely was like, you know what? I mean, he kind of pretended he didn't see him.
Yeah.
It's actually.
Oh, is that who had the ball? How about that?
Yeah, I need to find this. I mean, it's hilarious. He could have come in and he would have. I mean, he would have met him with Henry going full speed, and Henry probably drags him in the end zone. But he basically like looked the other way and was like, and kind of like got blocked instead of tackling him.
It's actually probably pretty smart.
Yeah, I mean,
pretty smart decision.
Yeah, yeah. Here you go, Andrew Wingard. Look at this. Okay, so here he goes. I'm just gonna stand
just
here.
Totally Olay's Derrick Henry. That's good stuff.
Block me. Okay, thank you. All right,
yeah, nice.
So, but there's some. I'm sure, and that's a big deal too. If you tackle Derrick Henry, you're a safety or a corner. I mean, that should be, you know, you should create your
hazard
own
pay.
A little highlight film of that. You know, there certainly are some guys who've tackled him.
Miguel on YouTube, I think we're going to be okay and win against Buffalo. For some reason, we've got their number.
Well, I mean, beat them last year, but the 2 years before that, Buffalo beat the Titans. Yeah. When Buffalo wasn't all that good in 2018, Buffalo was bad. Titans have won three in a row. Josh Allen was frankly, he was a bad rookie quarterback. And they won 13-12 because Nick Williams dropped a wide-open touchdown pass to Marcus Mariota.
What a game that was.
But also in that game, I mean, Josh Allen, again, he was very bad, but he did lead a late drive for the winning field goal. And then 14-7? Just
was that the
awful.
Kicking game?
That was the kicking game. That was the Cairo Santos, four field goals, including 51 or 52 yarder late. Vrabel sends him out rather than go for it down a touchdown when he's already missed three field goals, then says he has great confidence in him, and they cut him the next day. So Bills had their number then, and also those two teams had our number as people who like to watch football but don't like to watch terrible games.
Yeah.
But then I think, last year a lot more offense. I think Monday, one thing we will see is offense. The problem with the Bills is they are so much better, I think, on defense. And that's why I think a lot of people look at them and think they might be the best team in the league. Because Josh Allen, yes, he's come on. He's a heck of a player. They can score a lot of points. Their defense right now with Ed Oliver in there doing what he's doing. They got Gregory Rousseau as a rookie. They've got guys, and they are playing really well.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Logan texting in, if the Titans win, it'll be a shootout game. But if they lose, it's probably going to be a blowout. Logan thinks either the Titans are hanging in there, going punch for punch for the Bills and scoring along with them, or they're just going to get destroyed.
It's going to be a something out.
Yes.
yeah. See, the NFL, though, it's like I feel very confident Saturday night that we're going to see tons of points, Ole Miss and Tennessee.
Correct.
But, you know, in the NFL, it's still, you know, this could be like a 20-17 game.
Yeah.
It could. You know, I mean, it's that league is there's still enough good players on both of these defenses. Like I said, the Bills are very good. They're going to make it tough on the Titans, or they can make it tough on the Titans. Can the Titans make it tough on the Bills? You know, you got to turn them over some.
Is there any
you got to pressure Josh Allen and put him and get him on the ground?
Is there any letdown from the Bills? I mean, I think it's pretty clear they were hyped up about that Kansas City game. And, you know, you lose to them last year in the AFC title game, you go on the road, and you absolutely dominate that team. Is there any letdown from the Bills after that? I mean, I wouldn't think there'd be a ton based on the talent they have and how they basically just consecutively hammered everyone since the Pittsburgh game to begin the season. But, you know, I think it's fair to say the game against Kansas City was an emotional game for those guys. You know, it's Monday Night Football. You should be able to get up and get ready for that. But does that factor into this at all?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that it's Monday Night Football, one, and like you pointed out earlier, I mean, they probably are talking a little bit this week about the blowout loss here, coming in here on a Tuesday night, and Derrick Henry throwing people around and all that. They're probably, I wouldn't think that this would be a week for that. And they just seem like they look like a team that, you know, believes that it can get to the Super Bowl and needs, you know, you got to find that, excuse me, got to find that consistency. So I think they'll I mean, I think they got supreme confidence right now, and it's up to the Titans to disrupt them right now. They got a rhythm where they just look dominant since, let's not forget, they also have looked ugly, but that was in the opener against the Steelers.
Did you hear what Leslie Frazier said yesterday, D coordinator for the Bills, talking about Derrick Henry? The quote was, quote, "I prefer not to think about Derrick Henry right now." That was his quote at his press conference yesterday. Then he went on to say, you know, he's a really, really good back. We're going to have to our hands full trying to contain him. But that's probably the approach most D coordinators in the league take of, you know what, I just prefer not to really think about Derrick Henry. We'll be like the defensive back in Jacksonville and just pretend he doesn't exist.
Yeah. And here we go again with a team that's just like all of them will be. They are going to be just jacked up. The first time they get a tackle for loss of Derrick Henry,
or
even just stop him for a yard or two, it just brings life to the team. Can the Titans get this to the fourth quarter where pretty consistently all of a sudden teams have a lot less enthusiasm and seem to be a lot less effective tackling him? I mean, that's the thing. Can the Titans get this to the point where they're not having him 22 stand on the sideline with McNichols out there because they're in hurry-up because they're down three scores?
ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in this Saturday as Nashville SC takes on DC United. Pre-game starts at 6:15, and the match begins at 6:30. When we come back, we'll get back into the Nashville Predators, including some predictions on the Predators from our own Joe Rexroad. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.